Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from the prophet Isaiah, and this is a very positive section of his prophecy. Here he is foreseeing the restoration of God's kingdom. Please listen now to this very uplifting passage from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that do not know, that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord. The Apostle Paul, in this morning's second lesson, offers some very stern warnings, citing history of the Israelites. Please listen and hear what he has to say to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the first 13 verses. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or, "Those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish just as they did." Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sure, sir, let it alone for one more year, and I will dig around it, and I'll put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. This is the word of the Lord. There is an age-old question that has plagued humankind for basically all time. The question is, why do bad things happen to good people? And I suspect if I asked for a show of hands of how many people have ever asked that question, nearly everyone here would probably raise their hands. There's been something that has happened that we've seen that we say is not fair, is not right, and we wonder why it happened. Now, the Bible does speak to this question. The problem is we're not usually satisfied with the answer. In the biblical times, God... basically, people attributed to God most anything that happened. If there was a good crop, it was the blessing of God. If there was a bad crop, it was the curse of God. If there was rain, thank God for it. If there was drought or there was flooding, well, God was angry with us. And on it would go. In matters of war, if our side won, well, that's God's favor. If our side lost, well, God must have abandoned us. And over, we try to figure out why God did things. Now, I suspect most of us don't hold to that biblical the idea that they had in the biblical times that everything is attributed to what God's doing. I imagine most of us don't see the flooding that's happening in Nebraska and along the Missouri River, that's God's judgment on those terrible people in Nebraska, for we know they're terrible sinners. No, we probably would more likely attribute it to some sort of climate change. We like to have some idea, though, of why things happen, and we especially like it if there's a cause and effect to it. Like, if a person smokes 3 packs of cigarettes for 40 years, we're not really surprised if they develop lung cancer. People who build homes right there on the coast, well, we're not terribly surprised if a hurricane comes along and destroys their home. Cause and effect. You know, you do something, it has the potential for this effect. What troubles us is when we can't see the cause and effect. When there's the little child that develops cancer and dies. The young mother who has a brain aneurysm and drops dead. The police officer who's a dad and 3 wife and 3 kids and he's shot in the line of duty. We say these things aren't right, these things aren't fair, and we want to know why God allowed it to happen. In our Corinthian passage, Paul attributes the terrible things that happened to the Israelites as they were in the wilderness, waiting to move to the promised land. They had gone through the Red Sea, and Paul kind of attributed that as like our baptism, and they had God with them, and yet they would sin, and these terrible things would happen. And Paul uses it as a warning for us. Don't do these things, or bad things might happen to you. Not sure how much we ascribe to that belief. In Isaiah, we were told that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not always our ways. God has different things in mind. And sure, God could cure that little child that had cancer. Or God could prevent that drunken driver from running over the teenager who was just walking down the street. God could prevent those things, but God's ways aren't always our ways. God's thoughts are not always our thoughts. And so we are looking for answers. Why? Why do bad things happen to good people? And there's a whole book in the Bible that talks about this question. The book of Job. And here you have Job, who's fine, outstanding man. Does things right. Has a beautiful family. He's rich. He has good health. And he loses it all. First his wealth, and then his sons and daughters, and then his health goes away, and he's left asking, why? Why is all this happening to me? And his friends come over, and they're no help. They're saying, it's happening to you because you are a sinner. Fess up. And he said, no, I haven't done anything wrong. Why is this happening to me? And then at the end of the book, God appears. And we're ready for the answer. We're ready. Okay, God's going to tell us why these things happen. And he doesn't. God doesn't say why things happen. Instead, he asks questions. Were you there when the universe was created? Did you have any hand in creating that universe? Can you even control the weather on the planet? Can you control the hair on your head? You can't do any of these things. That's the answer. We can't do any of these things. It's God. It's God's prerogative of what God wants to do. And God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And that is a very less than satisfying answer. And then we have Jesus. In our passage today, some people come up to him and they say, hey, did you know that Pilate's soldiers attacked and some Galileans while they were making their sacrifice in the temple, and their blood and the blood of their sacrifice mingled together, such an atrocity. What do you think of that, Jesus? I'm not quite sure what their motive was. Perhaps their motive was, okay, Jesus, if you're the Messiah, you're here to drive these Romans out, so rise up, collect your army, and let's go. Or were they more asking, why did this happen? Were these Galileans worse people, and was this God's judgment? I tend to go with that. And Jesus' answer is, no. You think they were the worst sinners in all the people in Galilee? No way. But you better repent so that something bad doesn't happen to you. And then he adds a whole other story. He says, that tower, you remember that tower that collapsed? Killed 18 people? Were they the worst sinners in all of Jerusalem? No. But you better repent so that something like that doesn't happen to you. Repentance, is that a satisfying answer to why bad things happen to good people? I mean, repentance doesn't have anything to say about why something happened or whether God was involved in it or not. But that's Jesus' answer. You need to repent. Now, often when I think of repentance, I'm thinking of the fire and brimstone minister who says, repent, you terrible sinners. God's angry with you. But that's not what I'm hearing Jesus say here. Jesus is saying, you need to repent because it's in repentance that we have life with God. And it's here where we find meaning in our life and purpose in our life, and we can have peace and we can have joy within our lives. And sure, bad things might happen, but we want to be right with God when those things do happen. And so we need to repent, make ourselves right with God. It's not going to explain why bad things happen to good people, but it's going to make sure we're in the right place. I wish more of you had been able to have been at our Wednesday study that Kim leads. This week we kind of talked about the question of why bad things happen to good people. And I didn't ask permission to tell their story, so I'm not going to tell their stories, but I'm going to give you the gist of what was said. We had some people there that, one person had every reason to be angry with God. I mean, none of us would have blamed that person for being angry. And yet the person says, I wasn't. I never blamed God. And saw that that was a blessing in and of itself. That person didn't have to blame God for a terrible thing that happened. Others talked about their anger with God. Oh, I was angry with God. God had done such and such, and I didn't like it. But most of them concluded that story with, at some point down the road, I came to peace with it. And several even said, I found a blessing in it. There were also secondhand stories. These weren't the stories of the people there, but the stories that they were familiar with, where people were not able to let go of their anger with God. And I should say, let me just interrupt that and say, it's all right to get angry with God. God can handle your anger. You know, I get sometimes angry with my wife. She never gets angry with me. All right, Lord, I just confess my sin now. I lied. Sometimes I get angry with her. Sometimes I get angry with my kids. That does not change the fact that I love them all very dearly. We can love God and be angry with God. God can handle your anger. But God wants us to work through that anger also. And that's what I was getting at saying. We heard stories of people who were not able to get over their anger with God or with the circumstance that brought on that anger. And because of that, they couldn't let it go. And because of that, it became an obsession to them that basically ruined their lives. Unable to let it go. I believe that's why Jesus tells us to repent. Let go of these things. Deal with the anger, but move on. Paul in 2 Corinthians spoke of a thorn in his flesh, something that he prayed over and over. Three times he prayed that God would remove this thorn. He's saying, God, there's this weakness within me that's preventing me from doing all the things I could do for you. And I suspect by the third time he's starting to get a little angry with God. Come on, God, I told you we need to get rid of this thorn, whatever it might have been, so that I can do great things for you. But after that third time, God said to Paul, hey, it's precisely because of that thorn in your flesh that I'm able to do great things through you. You need that weakness in order for God's power to be made manifest and to be able to be channeled through you. And so Paul got to the point where he would boast of this weakness because it allowed God to work in and through him to do great things for God's kingdom. Jesus told the parable about the fig tree that wasn't producing fruit. And the idea is God's not bringing judgment on us right away, but God is giving us this opportunity to repent, to get our lives straight with God, so that we might experience his purposes, his joy, his peace in our lives. So it boils down to this. We don't know why bad things happen to good people. God doesn't give us that answer. We wish we had it, but we don't. But as disciples of Christ, we are to take the things that we do know, and we are to go with those things and allow God to work in and through us to be bringing about the work of God's kingdom. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Romans 8:28, for we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. Doesn't mean all things are good that happen to me, but that somehow God's able to take all the things that happen, even the bad things that happen, and somehow make good come out of it. And when we trust upon that, we can move forward even when bad things are happening. And we can put our trust in God, and we can go about the work of God knowing we don't have all the answers. But we know the God who does have the answers, and that God loves us and wants to be in this close relationship with us. I doubt I have satisfied you with the answer of why do bad things happen with good people. But I do the best that I can, given what God gives us to work with. And God doesn't give us a lot on that, except trust God, repent, and give our lives fully to God, and let God work in us. Amen.